You're here this morning. Tom, we did not think that you hit Nita because you're here. And Tennessee girls know how to take care of themselves. I do want to make a quick mention this morning about the Go Preach training camp that's coming up. There was some discrepancy on dates in different places, and so I want to make sure that everybody is clear because my own wife and my own household was not clear. And so I know if it got that deep into misunderstanding even in my own household, then it might be out there as well. It's June 14th through the 21st. And so I hope that our young men can attend that. Right now, I'd really need to know about those that are here. If you're a parent and you want your teenage young men, 13 to 18, that are Christians, if you are going to have them to come to the camp and they want to come to the camp, I would really appreciate it if you let me know that today so that we can begin to make accommodations for that. We can't always predict, you know, those that are going to come from out and about, but here, if we can get a number from here, then that will help us begin to properly prepare. So please see me today if your son is, or sons, in the case of the Barcos, right? If your sons are going to be in attendance for that. Open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. I talked about this on Wednesday night in our Divided Kingdom class, but I told the class that night, I said, I'm not really going to go into this particular text because I really, as I studied it and prepared for it in the class, I thought this would be a good sermon. And so I didn't want them to have to hear it twice, and so I'm going to give them what they didn't get in class on Wednesday night this morning. But 2 Kings chapter 4. So we begin the chapter. It is the chapter in which we're dealing with Elisha. Elisha has recently seen Elijah be taken away in that whirlwind up to heaven. He has taken up the mantle as the prophet of God in the northern kingdom. He has asked and has received from God a double portion of the Spirit that Elijah had. That's what he wanted. When God said, when he was offered anything he wanted, he said, I want a double portion of the Spirit that Elijah had. That's a pretty good request, isn't it? Very similar to Solomon's request for wisdom to judge your people, O God. And so he was given that, and the sign for him being given that was the fact that he saw Elijah be taken away. He was there when that took place. Well, Elisha, as a result, and whether it's a result of this double portion or whatever, he is one of the great miracle workers of the Old Testament. We have 15 recorded miracles that are done by Elisha's hand. Now, Elijah does a good number. Moses probably would rank probably the highest of one that's attending to miracles of God throughout the Bible. I mean, we get 10 of those from him, right? Right out of the gate. But outside of Moses, Elisha certainly is one of the greatest miracle workers of the Old Testament. In this particular text, in verses 1 through 7, we see that a widow of one of the prophets of God comes up to Elisha. She tells him that her husband has died and that he has left debts. And that as a result of those debts, the creditor is at her door basically. He is there and he wants to take her two sons into slavery until that debt can be paid. Now, she doesn't specifically ask Elisha for anything. And Elisha actually asks her, what do you want? You know, basically. But he doesn't actually give her the chance to answer the question, at least that we have recorded. But he goes right into asking her kind of what she has. I mean, the problem is a debt. So the logical question is, what do you have? And the answer is, I have nothing except one little thing of oil. One little pitcher of oil is all I have. And so that's where Elisha is going to begin to solve her problem. So he gives her instructions. He says, now what I want you to do, I want you to go and I want you and your sons to gather every pot, every container that you can possibly find and take those to your house. He said, then I want you to go into your house with your two sons and I want you to shut the door and I want you to pour from your one little thing of oil into those pots. And when a pot is full, set it aside. Well, now she has to be thinking, okay, wait a minute. I just got a little thing of oil, and you got all these pots, and you're telling me when they're full, set them aside? It kind of doesn't make sense. It's kind of one of those things that, you know, she's going to do it because she believes it's going to make a difference, right? And sometimes the blessings are not always laid out clearly, but we do what God has commanded because He will bless us. And we believe that. And we'll take the blessings in the manner in which He gives them because they are best. Well, she goes in her house, she shuts the door, she does what she's told. Her and the boys, they have a system. They're bringing the pots, she's filling them up, right? I mean, just keep that thing turned over and just let it pour. And they're just shuffling pots in underneath. And there comes a point where she tells her son, bring me another pot. And he goes, we don't have any more. And they're all over here in the pile of full, right? And at that point, the Bible says that the oil stopped pouring. She ran out. She goes to Elisha, tells him what took place. And Elisha says, take the oil, pay your debts, and live on the rest. Take your oil, pay the debts, and live on the rest. Pretty simple story. Just 7 verses. We do not even know this widow's name. We don't even know her husband, the prophet's name. He was a man of God. That's very clear. She tells Elisha, you know that, but we don't even know their names. And yet it's such a profound story of God, His blessings, and our part in those blessings. I want us to consider 3 calls to action that we see in this story. First, there is a call to pray, is there not? You know, this widow, she goes to the man of God, the prophet of God, to seek an answer, to seek a solution to the problem that is in her life. You don't go to the prophet of God unless you're seeking God's help. And she is a faithful woman. Her husband was a faithful man. And she goes to the prophet of God seeking help. And that is the equivalent of us today going to God in prayer. I mean, she's going to the man that has the power of God upon him. It is well known. There were 50 prophets standing on the other side of the Jordan that saw Elisha part the Jordan River just as Elijah had done when they went over before he was taken up. And they said, he now has the power of Elijah. This is known. And so she's seeking God's help through the man of God. And that is equivalent to prayer for us. You know, she took her problem to God. Parents, would you consider it a problem if someone was going to take your sons tomorrow to be slaves? That's a pretty big problem. That caused me a little bit of stress today. How about you? And so, put yourself a little bit in her position, right? This is a moment of desperation. This is a terrible problem that she has to face. And folks, she's a woman that has no power to change that. Has no power to make an impact on that. She doesn't have anything. She's a woman. She can't fight to save, protect her sons. It's going to happen. So she goes to the man of God. You know, we see this type of situation repeated in the Bible. Hannah couldn't have children. That was something she couldn't change, could she? She prayed to God. And He gave her Samuel. Hezekiah prayed to God in the impending moments of his death after Isaiah said, you're a dead man, put your house in order. He prayed to God. His death was something he could not change. And God gave him life. You know, we can go further in the Bible. We see Paul prayed for 3 days after he was blinded on the road to Damascus. Prayed for 3 days. After his realizing that he had persecuted God's people, after hearing Jesus say, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Prayed for 3 days. There was nothing he could do to change what he'd done, right? There was nothing he could do to remove that sin. But he prayed for 3 days to God, and God sent Ananias to teach him what to do to be forgiven, didn't he? You know, God's responses are not always as easy as those. And while God's responses are not always easy or what we want even, sometimes they are certainly what we need. Jesus prayed, God's only begotten Son. He prayed, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Now the answer to that prayer is not easy, is it? Because the answer to that prayer was, I'm not going to let the cup pass from you. You're going to have to drink it. But don't forget what else takes place in that storyline of that night in Gethsemane. Because God did give Jesus what He needed. He sent angels to strengthen Him, right? Jesus needed strength. He was at a very difficult moment in His life. He needed strength. God gave Him what He needed. He may not have said yes to His prayer, but He gave Him what He needed still. As He was preparing to face Judas, who was probably on his way to that garden at that moment. You know, we need to take our problems to God and seek His help and trust that what He does in our response, in response to our prayers is exactly what we need. And there are many things in this life that we have no control over. There's a plethora of things that we have no control over. And yet, as Gabriel told Mary that day, nothing is impossible with God. So folks, when we face those things that we can't control, those things that we can't change of our own power and of our own strength, of our own ability, of our own intellect, we need to remember that there is a God that exceeds my intellect and my strength and my abilities, and nothing is impossible with Him. And yet, sometimes we go to everybody but Him, right? We need to remember Him and go to prayer and seek His wisdom, His blessings upon our lives. Do you believe that nothing's impossible with God? If you do, I promise you, you have a powerful prayer life. If you really believe that all things are possible with God, that God will do that, bless His children in the way that they need, you will pray. I heard a man say one time, and I believe it, I know I've told you this before, but he said, I don't believe in prayer. I don't. I believe in the God that I pray to. That's where the power is. I believe in what He can do for my life, how He can change it. Take your problems to God. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your anxiety on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. God wants to help. Won't you simply ask Him to help you? And trust that He will. Pray first. Pray often. Pray believing that God will do what is best. Second, in this story, there is a call to obey. Now, Elisha told the widow what to do, did he not? Go gather pots. Go gather containers. Get all you can find. Take them in your house. Shut the door. Pour out into them, right? Set the ones that are full off the side. There were commands for the widow to follow in order to receive the blessings of God. There is no reason to believe that she would have received anything if she had not obeyed the words of Elisha. She said, I'm going to find some other way, then she probably would have lost her two sons, right? No, God does not need someone trying to second guess what He said. All we have to do is go forward one chapter to chapter 8. And we see Naaman, right? Go dip seven times in the River Jordan. What does Naaman do? He second guesses the words of the prophet from God. Well, I know rivers better in Syria, right? Why can't I go wash in those? Just wash and be clean, his servant said. Just do what God says. You know, those that did something that was different than what God commanded, we never see that as something that God is pleased with. And we can see it in a powerful way when we look at Nadab and Abihu, right? I mean, they took fire. I mean, everybody goes, well, fire's fire, right? Well, not if God tells you to get the fire from a specific place. Then fire's not fire. It is strange fire, as the Bible says, right? It is disobedience. Because they didn't do what God said, and God burnt them up from fire from the altar. Now, God does not want our opinions about what He commands. Doesn't need them. Parents, do you like your opinion, your children's opinions on what you tell them to do? Isn't it amazing how we hold double standards? You ain't gonna don't no, because I said so, right? That's all that needs to be said. My mama said that a lot. Because I said so, and that was really the end of it. There really wasn't an argument to that, was there? And yet we look to God, and it's not because He said so. I've got an opinion about it, of how I would like to see it done. God doesn't want our opinions. God does not want us to do what we like instead of or in addition to His commands. He wants us to do what He says. He wants us to obey, and He will bless that obedience. You know, according to Matthew chapter 7, the last chapter there in the Sermon on the Mount is recorded in the book of Matthew, the difference between the lost and the saved is whether those people obeyed the commandments of the Father in heaven. The difference between being wise or foolish was doing what Jesus said, not what we want. You see, what I want is sometimes not what Jesus says, right? And yet Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 says that all that we do in word or deed, right, be done in the name of Jesus Christ by His authority. In other words, by what He says, according to what He says. Obedience to the will of God, according to Matthew chapter 7, is the difference between being authentic sheep and ravenous wolves wearing a sheep's costume, right? It is the difference, obedience is the difference to the teaching of, in the teaching of Jesus, is the difference between being a good tree that bears good fruit or a bad tree that does not bear good fruit. Obedience is absolutely essential to salvation, and the greatest blessings that God gives to His children come as a result of obedience. That woman was blessed. Why? Because she obeyed. Last of all, there is a call in this story to do all that we can. Elijah told that widow, you go find pots, right? You go find containers. You find everyone that you can, right? Do everything you can to find every container that is out there. You find it. Now, we're going to come back to that in just a second. We go forward into the New Testament, Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. We have a familiar parable, the parable of the talents, right? One man's given five talents, one man's given two, one man's given one, and the master goes away for a time. And when he comes back, he calls into account what they have done with what has been given to them. And the five-talent man and the two-talent man have doubled their talents. And he commends them for their actions. But we remember the one-talent man, right? He said, I knew that you're an exacting master. I knew that you were strict about these things. I wanted to make sure I gave back to you just what you gave me. And he buried it, right? He was called a wicked and lazy servant by the master. You know, those men that did all that they could with the five and the two talents were given much more because of their efforts. The talent of the one man, the one talent man, right, was given to the man that had five because he had done much with his. Listen to what the master says to the man with two. He says, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I think through his giving his all and doing the very best with what God had given him and doubling it was going to equate to him getting some more, right? Being blessed even more, being put in charge of more things, entering into the joy of your master. That's a good thing. Why? Because he did everything that he could with what had been given to him. If we go back to that widow, go out there and find every pot that you can find. Okay, so break out across town, right? Knock on the doors. You ever had anybody come to your door and ask you if you have some sugar or something like that they might need for something they're cooking they don't have? We've had that, right? She's knocking on doors. Hey, you got any pots? Got any containers? You got some glass? Whatever. Anything I can put stuff in. You got some of that? She does that. But do you realize that the amount of effort she put in had a lot to do with the size of this blessing? Because at the end of the day, the debt was a fixed thing, right? It was one debt. I mean, the debt was a fixed number. And so when she sold the oil, she paid the debt. She gets to live on the rest. But what is the basis on what the rest is? How much effort she put in. The more pots she got, the more she's got to live on now, right? The blessing is larger because she gave more of herself to doing what was commanded. The more she gave, the more she was going to be blessed on the backside of that debt. And so her efforts and her actions were going to have a bearing on the overall amount of that blessing that God gave to her. So many do not see the blessings of God in their lives. And there's a reason. Because they do very little to make the most of what God has given them. You know, if she'd have gotten just a few pots, I'm tired. It's been my husband just died. I'm mentally worn out. I'm just tired. My sons, I've been tired because of the fear of the creditor taking these sons. I'll grab a few pots. would she have even been able to pay the debt? And if she had paid the debt, would she have had much to live on afterwards? Because she's going to need that, isn't she? Women can't make a lot of money in those days. They don't have those opportunities. You know, we have the wonderful blessing of God's words. That's a blessing, folks. You ever just think about this? Now, it's not this leather and this paper, but what's on this leather and paper are the words of God, who took time to speak to you, took time to speak to me. What an incredible blessing. How great is that? Do you make the most of it? Do you make the most of it? Take full advantage of it. Glean all that you can from it and be blessed through that study. See, you'll have a hard time finding the blessings of having God's Word if you don't ever open the book. But the more effort you put into it, the more you go out there and give all yourself to it, to love God with all your mind, as Jesus said in the greatest commandment, to give your intellect to His words and what He has said to you, the more blessings you're going to find in that book about how to live, about how to have peace and joy and all those things that God promises, they're there. Peter says that it has all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's there. Sometimes we don't put the effort in to find it. We don't go out and find the pots, do we, to fill. We have the wonderful blessing from God of being a part of His family. Be here this morning with you. Do you get everything you can from it? Do you give all that you have to it? You know, many people, and I'm talking Christians here, seem to not get why church is so great. I've had people say pretty much close to that. And it is because they haven't done much with the blessing. They haven't gathered many pots to fill. They don't attend services. They don't participate in the works. They don't love their fellow Christians. They would rather be with the world. And you wonder why. No, really, you don't. Why they don't see the blessing of this. Being with God's people. Those that have given their lives, their sweat, their blood, their tears and toil, they know the great blessing of God's family. I've been at people's deathbeds and heard them say that the church was the greatest thing in their lives. Why? Because they gave their lives to it. They gathered many pots and were blessed in great ways. How about you? Are you making the most of the blessing of the family of God? Being a part of the church that Jesus Christ puts you in. He added you to it. You're here because of Him. Not because you decided it's someplace you might want to be. You are here, if you are in the Lord's church, you're here because Jesus Christ shed His blood and put you here by the power of God Almighty. There are other blessings that are greater as we participate in them. Prayer. The more you pray, I guarantee you, the greater the blessings you'll find in your life through prayer. You'll see more. You'll know more. You'll have a greater peace in your life. There are things like peace and joy that come out of those things. Forgiveness. The more I understand my need for forgiveness, and I seek forgiveness and know that God gives me that forgiveness, I confess my sins, the greater that blessing becomes, right? That I realize what God has done for me, how much He had to do for me. What about love? Is that a blessing? Is it a blessing that the more you participate in it, the more you give yourself to it, the more you get from it? Sure it is. It always will be. Love is powerful, not only for the people that you love, but it also is powerful as you give that love to them. It changes you. It changes them. It changes the world. And the love of God certainly did that. So this morning, are you making the most of God's blessings in your life today? Now, the greatest blessing, if we're going to rank them, right? the greatest blessing without any fear of contradiction is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ upon the cross. What will you do with Him? Will you give your all to Him? Will you give everything you have to that blessing? Or are you just going to give enough to maybe in your estimation get by? I tell you, anything less than everything, and you literally deny the very name you claim to wear, Christian, Christ-like. Because let me tell you what, my Lord did not give anything less than everything. He gave it all for you. He gave it all to obey the Father. Not my will, but your will be done. He gave it all to save you, to save me. And if you give anything less than all, you're not living up to what to the name you wear. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about what came as a result of Jesus giving it all. It says that He endured the shame of the cross for the joy that lay before Him. Right? He gave it all and He received more. And that more is you and me. That's the joy. The joy to save you, to put you in His body, to enable Him to wash your sins away and to have you saved in Him. That was the joy that Jesus went to the cross to find. And that is the joy that you and I have the blessing to receive. But it came because He gave all. And you'll get the most out of it only when you give all. Won't you follow His example this morning and give all that you have to give your heart, soul, mind, and strength? That was the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. To give it all so that you will experience the fullness of God's blessings for your life. This morning, if we can help you begin that journey through obeying the gospel, hope, and pray that you'll let us. If you understand what you need to do, if you understand that you need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You need to believe that He died and that He shed that precious blood for you. Without faith and belief, it is impossible to please God, according to Hebrews chapter 6, right? For he that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. If you understand that and you have faith in God and you believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior, Lord and Savior, then repent. Change your life this morning to be like Him. Give your all to it. Confess Him. Not ashamed to tell the whole world that I was saved by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Be buried in baptism, having your sins washed away. That's what we need, folks. That's what you need this morning. Have your sins washed away, that which is dividing you from God, and come redeemed and reunited to God to be His child. Rising from that watery grave to walk, giving all that you have to Him and receiving blessings that you cannot even begin to yet imagine. This morning, if you're a child of God, maybe you haven't been giving your all. Maybe you thought, I can just do this and it's just good enough. Live up to the name you wear. Give it all. Be faithful even to the point of death, the book of Revelation says. I tell you what, you won't die for Christ if you won't give Him a time to worship, if you won't give Him time to study, if you won't give Him time to pray, I seriously doubt you give your life. Give it to Him today. We can assist you in that. We'll pray that you will allow us. We can pray for you and encourage you. We want to do that. Won't you come as we stand, as we sing?